This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to a very special Buckets. This isn't a regular season show. It's not a postseason show. It exists only within the play-in tournament. We're here not only with Billy, but with Adam and Marty.
You're getting bucket buckets.
All right, here we are, guys. Wow, what an exciting time.
The season is over. There's one more play-in game tonight, but for all intents and purposes, the Over-Under League is now officially over. The third annual, I believe, or second annual?
It's tough to say. There was one, I think, before the podcast, and then there was the first one that we recorded that Adam won, and then the one last yes. year was canceled, and we did the playoff one, which Marty won, and then yes. this is the third, maybe second full season, and it came down to Marty and Adam again.
Timeout.
A rubber match,
so
in a way.
Yeah, so you guys have both won on your own right, and now you're going head-to-head to find out who won this season. That's insane.
Yeah.
I think, Adam, you and I should maybe start a basketball podcast.
Seriously.
Just splinter off.
I mean, we seem to know a lot about
winners only.
Yeah, exactly. You guys should honestly start making these actual bets. I mean, there's no need to pull some, you know, take money from your friends. You should just walk up to a Vegas casino, a sports book, $10,000 in cash. Your guys' picks were not only the best this year, but it would have won any other year. I think Adam won year one with 27 games above Vegas predictions. Both of you beat that by at least 10 games.
Dang.
Really? By 10 games?
Yes.
Holy crap.
And not only that, but your first, we did seven picks each. Your first six picks were all correct. And your seventh pick was a little off. But you guys both went 6 for 7, I should say.
Wait, so both of, not just our collective first six picks, we had 12 of our first picks were
correct.
Collectively
yes.
correct.
Like wow. calling 12 Marty. Coin flips in a row, seemingly impossible, but you guys pulled it off. It was Nets over for Marty first, nailed it. Wiz over for Adam first, nailed it. And then on the way back, Adam took Knicks over, which was the pick of the draft, 18 and a half games above what Vegas said.
Thank you, Amir.
Yeah. I don't know this as a fact, but I'm fairly certain Adam has always taken Knicks over in this, and he might be 2 for 3, so go New York, go. Good job, Adam.
Well, the only reason I took that was because you took the Blazers over from me.
That's
so
right.
So thank you, Amir Blumenfeld.
Well, I will say the Blazers over still hit, but not as much as the Nets over. Blazers over was 1.5 games over, and the Nets over was 3.5 games over. I also
Blazers
took the Knicks under, and that was minus 18.5 for me.
There is no digging
hard
out.
Hard to stay competitive that way.
There is no digging out of a negative 18 from one team.
No. And my total score, I added all of them up. Minus 18.5. So I broke even on every other one. Yeah. And then the Knicks gave me a minus 19.
Not quite the name of the game here, but
absolutely love to hear it.
What about Billy? How'd Billy do?
Billy did.
Billy is also in the running. It's between Marty, Adam, and Billy.
No. Billy was he was minus 12.5. 12.5 games under Vegas predictions.
Yeah. I couldn't dig out of Suns under and Jazz under.
Yep.
AKA the 1 and 2 seed in the Western Conference.
Two top teams.
I said they won't do so well. Wrong.
Yeah.
You know what? I would like to call it. I know he's not here, so we don't need to talk about him too much, but Jesse did try and piggyback all of my picks by picking the opposite thing, and I'd like him to just be on
that's
blast.
Correct. That is correct. And you'll know that he did finish last, which makes sense. Which does make sense. Yeah, it was minus 27.5 under Vegas' prediction. Yep. The inverse.
<T-mark>.
Yeah.
along with your great predictions, there were some like insane pulls, like Marty going OKC under. They hit it was 23.5. They hit 21 or 22 games within like the first half of the season. And
terrifying.
Then collectively decided to stop playing basketball. They're like, everybody sit the fuck down, and went like 1 for 30 the rest of the way.
they realized what I realized when I picked them, which was they need to tank for their picks, and they weren't doing it right.
And so they were
needed to stop winning. And yeah, they were way out of control.
Did you guys watch the Clippers Thunder game, the tankathon at the end of the game?
Best,
at the end
best
of the
game of the year. I don't know anybody who was playing except for Patrick Beverley, and this dude was just ripping like shots out of the air, like whatever his name is, Moses Brown or whatever. He's like eight That's feet right. tall. Yeah. I've never seen play. And then their point guard, the point guard for OKC, looked seemingly like a worse version of me. Much taller and maybe somehow much skinnier.
Yeah,
it was like pulling up step backs.
Poku.
This is like how I play in our games. Like I was watching. I was like, oh my god!
It was the coaching Olympics because the Clippers wanted to lose to get where they needed to be, and like to coach a loss is very hard. But simultaneously, OKC like lost huge odds of getting a top three pick because they won that game because their coach coached poorly enough to win.
Yes.
So it's like it is such coaching gymnastics, that game 72 for some reason.
It was really weird. I mean, they put their 7 foot Euro 19-year-old at point guard just to like kind of like that move
for
that
40 play. Minutes.
Yes.
For
it was 40. Like the producers where they wanted this guy to fail and he ended up making 7 threes.
That's
like,
right.
Wow. He
Damn
did it.
What's his name?
Damn it.
Poku, Alex Pokushevsky or something.
Awesome.
Adam also had the inverse of that kind of luck where like the team was great and then they just bottomed out with the Wizards, because the Wizards were like historically bad. What, like Russ had like a shaky leg, everything seemed weird, and then second half of the season health kicked in, playoffs were like in the atmosphere, and they went hard.
That's correct.
Hard as hell.
Yeah,
they put the fear of God in me that first half of the season. To me, it was like, because I remember doing the draft, and it just seemed like with Beal and Russ, it was like, if you remember all the way back to like that preseason, it was like the Wizards were like the hot, I feel like they were like the hottest team.
You're right.
They were like the hot chat, like talk of the NBA.
Sure. Two All-Stars, you're in the East, you're going to accidentally win 40 games or something.
Yeah, exactly. But kudos to Russell Westbrook, who is now the record holder for what, most triple doubles ever?
Yes, that's correct. 182, past Oscar Robertson.
And he passed himself. I think he has 183 now.
Wow, he beat himself.
Yeah, he keeps breaking the record. It's crazy.
Adam then took Pacers under. The Pacers stopped winning. I don't know how you figured that out, but that happened.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Yes.
Marty took Suns over. CP3 effect killed it for him. 51 games they won. Their over-under was 38.5.
That was definitely my dumbest pick in retrospect, because CP3 last year was for the OKC Thunder, and all they did was like outperform, and everyone was like, dude is such a winner. You combine that with the fact that the Suns won 8 games in a row in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And then stopped playing, and all they did was add arguably the greatest winner in spite of his roster in the league, and that was a recipe for Marty to be where he is today.
You know what the other one was that was so obvious to me was the Raptors under. They were not a good team. I mean, they have a lot of good players, but switching from Kawhi Leonard to Pascal Siakam is a large delta that cannot be compensated. When they were being told, like, what was their over-under? It was something really high.
42.5. Yeah.
Wow.
So high.
I think because they didn't have Kawhi last year and they did win roughly that many games and they kept exceeding. They were like kind of like the Blazers of the East. Like they would always beat Vegas's expectations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this year they got fucked by the fact that they had to play in Tampa, and then they had COVID issues, and then they had injuries, and then this whole Kyle Lowry thing, and they stopped winning basketball games too.
It's not sustainable. Yeah. What they had last year was not sustainable in my eye.
I'll say this. They added Ken Birch, so they're winning 65 games next year. 65-17 on the back of Birch. Book it.
So yeah, you guys were 6-for-6 going into the last pick, and then your last pick was the only one that failed you. Adam took the Pelicans over, and for whatever reason, I mean, it still seems like they won over 35.5 games. They played so well. Zion was playing so well. Ingram was balling out. I don't know how they ended up at 31 wins, but that was a -4.5 for Adam.
Bummer.
They were trending up. Weren't they trending up too? Yeah. Like first half of the season, it was like, shit, they're going to win 42, 43.
Yeah.
What happened? What exactly changed?
Well, Zion got hurt, didn't he?
I think he was.
He only missed 11 games this season.
Yeah.
He was pretty consistent. I don't know what changed. And like Lonzo seemed to be getting better as the season went on. It was just like, I don't know, maybe they just hit their ceiling. But it was just such a weird
ending.
To not
even make the play-in.
Yeah.
It seems like they were playing so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that deep, maybe. I mean, beyond like the three of them, Ingram and Lonzo and Zion, like, are they just maybe a little shallow?
Right.
Or Bledsoe and Steven Adams and Jackson Hayes.
Weird
fits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then who was Marty's last pick?
The Pistons over 23 and a half, which was like, it's so low. I assume they'll accidentally win 24. But yeah, they were really, really bad this year. They only won 20 games. I think the worst record in the NBA.
I had too much faith in Blake Griffin. I really did. And that's my own mistake.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll live with that. What I want to know and what's more important to me is, okay, we nailed the first six mm-hmm. and we got seven wrong. Were there winning teams on the board still at that point?
There were, because the leftovers were the nine teams that nobody wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And one of the last picks that nobody wanted was the Lakers under 47 and a half.
Dang.
Marty, that was waiting there for you.
Yeah, I know.
Dang. It was like, the narrative, even just for the narrative of it all.
Yeah.
Damn. That sucks. That Pistons. Does suck.
You put your faith under. In the Pistons when you could have had just that much more shit talking in front of you on your plate.
He's just afraid of LeBron, I guess.
Yeah,
and
Anthony
Davis. And they had just won a championship. They're not going to win 47 games.
Asterisk.
So I'm here. Adam's biggest pick had to be the Knicks over at that, like the plus 18 and a half or whatever.
That's right.
What
that's
was
right.
Marty's most successful pick? What
so Marty had the second and third best picks in the
there
draft. The Raptors under were 15 and a half. They won 27 mm-hmm. instead
wow.
of 42.
Wow.
And the Suns over 38 and a half to 51, which, by the way, I did that math in my head and I was getting like this weird aneurysm. Like 38 or 51 wins to 38 and a half. I was like, is that 12 and a half or 13 and a half?
Oh, I thought it was 11.
Really,
and a half.
Really messed me up, but I will say it's 12 and a half. Yeah. See?
Okay, cool.
It's this weird mathematical illusion.
I need that.
Yeah.
So Lustig has the juiciest pick. Marty has the second and third juiciest picks. You'd assume that we're heading towards a photo finish. Is that correct?
It was indeed a photo finish, which is why I had them on. And then right before we started recording, so the way it works is that second place gets their money back. Thankfully, one of these people will not have to pay the other. And then the other five people will give the winner $72, one for every game played.
Wow. Correct.
Marty was considering, maybe do we do a deal? I mean, it's so close. Do we want it to come down to this? All or nothing?
Can we know what the difference was between wins, like totals
yes.
between Adam and I.
I think you can.
That's a great question.
I want to know how close it was.
Amir.
The winner was 38 and a half above Vegas prediction. Second place was 37 and a half above Vegas prediction.
Yes, the reaction.
If one
both
game
guests,
went differently.
Both guests in their rolly chairs rolled away
That's
from
right.
the screen Woo! And rolled back yeah. in amazement.
Yes.
Love it, dude.
After
I absolutely love it.
Thousands of games played, it came down to one game difference. One random
is,
game could have swung
this
whole thing.
Is Maury Povich. Gonna, this is Sally, Jesse, Raphael. We are about to reveal who the father is of the winning
Hold on. Okay. Here's what it's $72. There's five people outside of Adam and I. Is that correct?
That's correct. So Zeus, Wendelkin, me, Jesse, and Billy.
Is that 360?
That's $360. Billy, that was really impressive. Do you have a calc?
I'm a very impressive guy.
Also,
so $360 on the table, all riding on one game.
Boom. That's right.
Yep.
One game.
Billy, did you also know that 51 minus 38 and a half was 12 and a half?
I was silent during that whole segment because I was like, come on, man.
It's 12 and a half.
Get it together. Get it together.
Wait, did we have a mathematical illusion?
Yeah.
Did we bring in like PwC to audit this?
No, I think we got to go back to the deal.
Big four?
I think we got to go back to the deal right here.
I did. I double checked. I triple checked. And then I did everyone's score and it added up totally to zero. So that's how I know. I checked the math and it got down to zero. So yeah, everything is correct at this point.
The obvious deal would be to split it between the two of you right here, right now. But does one of you have more confidence or do you have some sort of side deal that you'd like to explore?
I kind of like, I think my offer, this is crazy. I don't know if I want to.
Or do you want to go winner take all? Winner take all. This is the original name of the game. I mean, you want glory? Does somebody want glory today?
So, sorry, just for my own clarification, sorry, because I'm a little slow on the math uptake here.
Of course.
So if the second place winner gets his money back,
$0.
Doesn't pay.
And the winner gets all 360 as it is now.
Correct.
Okay.
And the five losers are at negative 72.
Negative 72.
You guys have escaped
great.
That fate. You're down to how do I split this 360?
Mm-hmm.
Adam, I'm pretty sure that I won. I'm willing.
Wow.
I really think you won.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
I'm willing to peel off $72 as a consolation.
As just like a gentleman's gesture.
Because you did great this season, Adam.
Thanks, bud. Thanks, pal. I would, I don't know, man. I'm kind of more in the weird take all camp. I appreciate the gesture.
Yes.
I like to think that if I won, yes, I would be that sort of upstanding citizen. But I don't know, man. There's a nice roundness to 360.
Facts.
Literally the degrees in a circle. It's just something nice and round about 360. Yes. Let the winner have the circle.
It's all good, man. I was just trying to do you a favor. If you don't want the favor, look. It's fine. I'll keep the money. I'll do something nice. Maybe I'll get you an Uber gift card or something.
That's really nice, actually.
That'd be really nice. Just an Uber gift card would be great, and actually. Then, that would be super.
Adam, if you won, would you get Marty a gift card or anything like that? Or like?
Yeah, maybe a gift card or like...
Don't hold your breath, like Marty. Don't hold your breath. It's not coming.
Yeah, maybe I'd get him a gift card. Maybe just a pack of playing cards or something, or maybe like, I don't know, something. Oh, I would give you.
Speaking of which, this is all lining up really well with the reveal and the fact that this pack is dropping in 1 minute and 52 seconds.
That's right. Top Shot, all my Top Shot hot boys out there waiting for that. What's it called? Throw It Down pack or something? Hustle and Show. Of course. All right. Let's take a break. Of course, we got to leave people on the edge of their seats, come back after this break, and then reveal the grand winner. I think it was Billy, actually.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
All right, we're back. No need to belabor the point. You guys are going for a winner-take-all over-under season, I think three at this point, championship.
Not even nervous.
Okay.
It's a slam dunk.
That's great.
Absolutely slam dunk.
No deal was made. It's a winner take all season.
Yep. Yeah.
Winner take made off air.
So let's
off air.
I guess we should go through everybody's score. Let's start at the bottom. Jesse finished with -27.5.
Get off my back, Jesse. That means I won.
Well, both of you beat 27.5. I'll tell you that much.
That's true.
Amir, that's me, finished with -18.5. The host of your show here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, New York Knicks.
Billy was third to last with -12.5. Not ideal.
That's some typos in there, just so you all know. Some typos in there.
Bringing it up to Wendelken, who finished just under .500, -2.5 under Vegas's prediction. Zeus, the only other person that finished in the black, was 2.5 games above .500. In second place, 37.5 games above .500.
It's time.
Was Adam.
Oh, you idiot!
Making Marty Michael.
Wait, did I say Adam?
20.
Did I say Adam or Marty?
Over under champion.
Wait, what did you say it wrong?
Oh, no, it's Adam. It was Adam. And then Marty with 38.5.
God.
I wanted to do a fake moonlight moment. Yeah.
Yeah, what?
God, moonlight
wins. Are you being serious or not now?
Marty won. Adam finished second. That's the finale. That's what you have to know.
Congratulations, Martin. That's huge, man. Wow. Congratulations, buddy.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it when I was tabulating the score. I'm like, wow, this is so close. And then I got down to the last team. You guys were tied after six. The last team was Pelicans for Adam was -4.5, and Pistons was -3.5 for Marty. That was the only difference.
The Lakers.
The Pistons were just bad enough to get you the chip, Marty. Congratulations.
I was also hoping that OKC win at the end would screw Marty over in a way, because he was watching that game. No idea that it actually didn't end up costing him anything, so it was fine.
Yeah.
Congrats, Marty.
And thanks, congrats,
to, congrats to you, too.
Great way to like hold off on doing your own math, you two, because you could have known this answer for
days. Yeah.
And you two were like, why crunch numbers? I'd rather wait for the pod. So respect on that front.
Well, I saw Amir yesterday in person, mm-hmm. and I asked him, and he didn't say. And at that point, I didn't know either. And he said he wanted to reveal on the podcast, so I wasn't going to do that. Good I man. Wanted to know.
Not only that, but my math was done. I did the math, and it's on that over-under draft. It was there for anybody.
Yeah, I knew it was going
to
be there. I didn't want to see it.
No one opened the doc, doc.
I didn't want to open it. I knew because I knew this was going to happen. And I really did. I really did think that I won because I knew that I had two really good picks. And I didn't think the Knicks were that far ahead.
But and you're also a very confident human being.
Just general.
Yeah. I've never lost. In fact, I've won twice in a row now.
Oh,
yes.
God. Back to back.
You're building a bit of a dynasty here.
That's right.
My base of knowledge for understanding the sport is growing by the day. That's correct. Yeah.
Do you think
I also was a Division I athlete, so I just know a lot about athletics.
Oh, boy.
Wow. And this is, you can understand why I wanted Adam to win. I was openly rooting for Lustig. Yeah. And you get that. That's understandable, right?
The whole Buckets community was hoping that Lustig was going to take this.
Being so good, you get a lot of haters in your wake, and that's fine. That's part of being elite.
Actually, since you guys are here, I figured why not harness your powers of prognostication? Maybe you can help us make some postseason bets. The playoffs are starting in 3 days. So let's take a look at some series, maybe make some playoff predictions so we can put our monies where your mouth is. Marty, you're $360 richer.
Kudos.
Maybe you can let it ride on one of these series. First of all, did you guys watch the Lakers-Warriors game yesterday?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's a great game. One of the best games I've ever seen.
Wow. Best regular season games or best playoff games or magical in between?
It's confusing. I don't think it's either type of game. It's the first unique one of that type that I've seen. So I think it's like the best and the worst game I've ever seen of that type.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty like, sorry. I saw the highlights as I texted you guys. I watched the first half.
Then passed the fuck
out. Cobbled together the context. But like, I was so impressed with, truly an amazing game. Kudos to the Lakers. Incredible shot by LeBron. Really amazing. On that last shot, I was kind of amazed on how much like trash talking happens. Not even trash talking. I just am so curious as to what Steph and LeBron. LeBron was clearly like, I can't even see.
Yeah.
After he hit the shot.
Well, Steph said something while he was shooting.
Yeah.
Steph was passing him casually. This is fine because you're Steph. You're not going to block the shot. You're trying to just get there.
Yeah.
I'm curious what Steph said in that passing moment. That's what I would want to know. Because it's obvious LeBron's like, I can't see. But LeBron also in that moment is like, what do you – like, make a joke. Like, why are you being serious?
He's been
like,
a little dramatic. LeBron's was a little dramatic. The past, 45 days have been the most dramatic LeBron we've ever received as NBA
in the press conferences. He was really just like, oh, my eye. I kind of still can't see. I'm sorry, reporters. I kind of still maybe can't see still.
Yeah. I'm surprised. He should have shown up with a pirate. Like, remember after the finals where he lost, he had a cast instantly? He's like, I broke my hand in game one. I didn't tell you guys. I thought he'd show up with a pirate patch or something. But I thought he was taking a pretty jovial with your I saw three rims and aimed for the middle one joke. That's pretty
That was cute.
That kind of felt like hero ball to me, or like saying like the coolest thing you can about yourself after the moment has been done, where like that just felt like 45 days ago he said I'll never be the same player after receiving his first injury in 20 years.
He's not used to being human.
He's not used to being human. Last night's game I thought he looked quite human for most of the game. And I think most people would agree. Like, Wiggins was shutting him down on post-ups. It was interesting to watch. The fact that he has potentially three or four more series ahead of him is just scary. Like, I don't know how you get healthy in the playoffs. You don't, right? You only depreciate.
Well, that's a good question. Like, you have, a week or two against the Suns, and they don't have somebody like even Wiggins to guard him. It's like Mikal Bridges or Dario Saric or
Jay Crowder.
Maybe, but I don't know if he starts. But they don't really have a Kawhi Leonard or a Paul George to throw at him. They don't even have like a Michael Porter Jr. They don't have.
Well, I would argue that Wiggins isn't. He was really good last night, but I don't think anybody ever calls him like an elite defender. So,
no.
Like, I don't know that. Like,
but he's at least the Warriors. He's athletic and long and strong.
Last night's game was very awesome, but it was between two bad teams. They weren't like neither of them played that well.
And I would say they didn't play well. I would say those were not bad teams.
Okay, they played bad game. Okay, it was two teams playing bad games, basically. Like, the Warriors were playing well in the first half.
Curry was playing great in the first half. And Steph played great in the fourth quarter.
I agree. But they did. They shit the bed in the third quarter. And like at the end of the game, Curry dribbled the ball off his leg to lose the game. Hmm. And like,
Curry is that when Caruso stole the ball from him? This is the revisionist history that I'm talking about. Why didn't you take the Lakers under? Curry dribbled the ball off his. Do you hear what's going on here?
He's one of the best dribblers, if not the best dribbler in the NBA. Like, that doesn't happen. And he turned it over twice in the fourth quarter, I think. That one at the end, though, like, that should never happen. Should never happen.
Speaking of that should never happen, I thought that the Warriors had so many times to put the Lakers away in, like, the first half. Like, back-breaking. Like, we're up 12 right now. If we can just, like, get 10 in a row, we can maybe break their back. And they kept letting them get back to 5. Kept getting, like, 3. And then go up to 7 and 3. But they never had that, like, run on top of a run. There was a couple times where, like you were saying, transition turnovers just, like, screwed up real momentum that was happening. And I think leaving the Lakers that much room, you know how it ends.
Totally. Yeah, but that's because both teams were playing a bad game. Like, the Warriors were playing a bad game in the second half. Anyway, the other thing I thought was really, really funny was Draymond shooting that three at the end of the third, which is like such wide a open capstone on the third quarter for them, where it just like bounced off the right side of the rim, like not even close. I don't even know if it ever got above the rim. Like, his,
it's crazy how he's his devolved.
Shot got so bad.
Yeah. The most so poignant and perfect insult is Draymond plays with a backpack on.
Yeah,
it's so true. His jump shot,
and it's heavy. There's a lot in that.
He has his textbooks. He has textbooks in his backpack. He rolled up to the court and took a shot.
He's so good at everything. Like, he's a savant defensively. Like, he shut down Anthony Davis.
He shut down AD.
And he's like 5 inches shorter than him. Yes. Yeah. And he's a great passer, and he's a great rebounder. And he literally looks like me when he's shooting a three-pointer. Like, it's not even close.
There's a real deal with the devil type situation with Draymond Green.
Yeah, he wasn't always like that. I think he had like 35 in game 7 where they lost to Cleveland. He was like hitting threes.
Psychologically, though, I don't remember what podcast I was listening to, probably All the Smoke, but they were talking about one player who would hit every free throw in practice, but something when the lights came on, they just psychologically just like changed, like with a crowd, they just changed only in the shot. Everything else about their game that was like instinctive and all that.
But Draymond's done it before on the biggest stage. How do you lose that psychological edge? It's so bizarre.
More books in the backpack. He just keeps adding books.
more trophies
in his bag. Yeah.
But not to belabor, not to like be fundamentals guy. But Marty, as a D1 athlete, maybe you can have some insight. But like,
of course,
he wants that gift card.
Steph challenging that last LeBron three. Like, I get your point, Marty. He's not going to block it. But, like, he didn't even put his hand. I just thought that was such a weak from Steph. I was like, what is that? So half-assed.
No, like, I mean, he's making
contact. Right?
All he's trying to do there is make contact with LeBron, and he does. If you watch it, he puts his hand on his chest, and you just want
kind of risky
to know that you're within your – yeah, it is a little risky, but they never call anything if it's not hitting your arms or if you're landing in the space. And this happens every single shot. Somebody's, like, putting their hand on your – body so that you know that you're in the range, because what at the NBA level, once somebody goes up and they're shooting, they're basically only focused on the hoop. It's like what they're so elite at doing, and we can't do that. Like, we're so worried about everything around us and where we're going to land. It's like a totally different world when we're shooting. So like, just being there trying to get them out of that element is, I think, what he's trying to do, because he's not going to get up and block the shot. There's no way.
It was also a broken play. LeBron was half blind and he was like 40 feet away, so I will say it was interesting. Yesterday was my first experience watching Steph Curry with annoyance. Like, he's been so dominant when the Lakers were so bad that I've never rooted against Steph. It's always been like, oh, that's awesome. Oh, he's shimmying. Oh, wow, what a three, and he's dancing. And last night was the first game where the Lakers were good, and Steph was doing that to the Lakers. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Like,
cut
dancing and shit. Yes.
Cut it
and, like,
out, dude.
The announcers are gushing. Oh, my God, you see that cut? Did you see the cut Steph made? We have to cut that out and show it to high schoolers. Like, yeah, Kuz fucking Caruso just did that back cut, too. Why are you praising Steph Curry? Also, like, the refs... You can't touch Steph Curry. Like, he's like dribbling around people and they're like bodying him up. They call a foul even before Steph makes the layup. I was like,
oh my God.
Finally annoyed at Steph Curry getting every call, getting all the praise. Yeah. It was a new experience for me as a Laker fan.
Now you know how I felt through all those series. But he sunned Dennis Schroeder so fucking hard on that move. I jumped out of my seat.
Wasn't that Jordan Poole? The crossover?
No. No, no, well, that was awesome too. That was Jordan Poole. He missed the dunk though. I'm talking about when Steph, when it was in the fourth quarter, I think it was right before Schroeder got pulled because they realized he can't be in the game.
That's right.
He like went back to fake a 3-point shot.
Oh, Schroeder
jumped and he drove right around him and hit the floater off.
Yeah,
LeBron could get there. That Schroeder was stuck in his tracks so.
That's how you're supposed to play.
Believe it.
You jump up and let him Steph drive, and hopefully somebody else is there. But
I mean, you're right. But in that case, then LeBron needs to be 10 steps closer because he knows what's going to happen if they're going to play that way. But they weren't playing that way, and Schroeder got absolutely toasted, which was awesome. It was just like that move was. It's impossible.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot guard him on an island.
You also can't touch him either because, like, he drives and then the refs call a foul if you, like, tried to, like, hit him on the body.
Amir, I'm going to have to just make you hit the brakes because you've had LeBron James on your roster.
But he wasn't getting any calls yesterday.
Okay.
He was driving and they weren't calling anything. Like, also, like, Caruso got fucking body slammed on a layup and it was an and one. They did not call anything.
Obviously, we have to talk about the stars, but big shout out to Kuzma and Caruso yesterday. And Wes Matthews going to war in the second half.
Blazer, like, great Wesley Matthews.
Those dudes won the game for you yesterday.
Caruso
won the game.
And I thought Kuzma.
But
I thought
LeBron
Kuzma,
said it.
Yeah.
LeBron gave him plenty of credit in the post-game interview, so like I don't feel bad for Caruso.
He's ending the games over start. Like, Caruso is part of our final death lineup. It's like AD,
Schroeder,
LeBron, Caruso, and
Schroeder
then whoever's
in the game.
He looks young.
He can't be in the game.
Caruso looks like your youth too. Maybe not from like the neck up, but from like the neck down. He really is like he springs to the hoop in ways LeBron doesn't even do it right now.
Yeah.
So it's great. Like you got to use what you got for sure.
Amir, how were you feeling pregame? We were texting. You said you were feeling very confident.
Yes.
Halftime, like how were you feeling at halftime?
I thought we were going to lose.
Yeah.
I thought, we're too hurt to be competitive and the Warriors are making every shot. It kind of I said it reminded me of Game 7 against the Celtics where, like, we were just down 13. I'm like, I don't know how we score against this team. Like, we're 2 of 25. And then before you blink, it's like, oh, shit, it's only a 6-point game. I guess, like, there is something here. And then LeBron got hot and AD, came to life. He had 2 points at half and ended up with 25 and 12. AD, by the way, did not rest the second half at all, much like a game 7. He was like, don't worry, we'll rest in the offseason, which is now just 3 days for the Lakers. But it felt like a finals game.
By the way, fully watching the game up until halftime when they said this, thinking that the Lakers, if they lose, had another chance to play like the bubble play-in. So I was...
They did.
You thought the Warriors...
I thought they would have played the Warriors again. Oh. I thought the Warriors had to win two to secure. When they said that at halftime, I was like, holy shit, the Lakers really might fall out of the playoffs. This is nuts.
They would play Memphis. They wouldn't get eliminated. They would play
Memphis
next.
Poor Memphis.
I know, but then like I just thought I had joke around on our thread saying the Lakers aren't going to make the playoffs, but I did not realize how slippery of a slope it actually was.
I thought
they'd have to lose four games.
Even if we played Memphis, then we would have a day and a half rest to play. Like the difference between the two paths, it's like resting and playing the Suns. Yes, or playing Memphis and then Utah. That's such a more dangerous
path. Memphis could have beat the Lakers. Who knows?
Yeah.
Ja could have gone off for like 55 points.
That's right.
This is what I'm saying. I did not realize how crazy it was. So I was watching it completely amped in the second half. It was a game 7 for me.
Vibes.
Do you think that Memphis was sitting on a plane just waiting to find out which direction they were going to take off? Like, I was like,
They were circling in between.
They were circling California. I mean, seriously.
They were 32,000 feet in the air.
Or maybe they stayed in San Antonio. I don't know, the game was in Memphis or in San Antonio? The game was in Memphis, They probably leave today, so they weren't waiting.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Leave today, play tonight.
Tomorrow.
They played tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay,
Wednesday,
great.
Friday. Okay. All right, actually, let's use that as a segue into the playoffs. We'll start with the Lakers since we're talking about them. The Lakers are kind of heavy favorites against the Phoenix Suns, the number 2 seed in the NBA. Phoenix, who won more games than any other team but Utah, is plus 165 to beat the Lakers. Do any of you think that the Lakers will lose this series against Phoenix?
I do.
You think you would bet?
Really?
Even if it was even money, you'd bet on Phoenix?
Yes.
Because,
wow, Bill.
All right, let's hear it. What's the explanation?
I mean, I think that one thing I learned and was reminded of when watching the Lakers game was that in the playoffs, it is your roster. It is the best team that wins. And you can have those one or two like all-stars, but most teams kind of do at this point. And now it's about depth. And like when the stars come off the court after the first 8 minutes, who fills that next 4 to 6 minute chunk before the stars come back in the second quarter?
Yeah.
And I just think that Phoenix will just have waves of players that are going to exhaust LeBron James. And to, when you were saying, who does Phoenix have to guard LeBron James? Yeah. I don't know if they have any one player, but I do know that they have Chris Paul coming to double a lot. And that's going to be just like, I think that they can fatigue the Lakers in three games. And like LeBron, he looked unhealthy straight up.
Yeah.
And like I said, like he's had more days off before this game than he will probably for the rest of the playoffs. So it's like, he's only going to depreciate in health. I mean, what, he gets one or two days off between most playoff games. I don't know. I just think
Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. For this series. But he does have 3 days off now. But yeah, he will definitely... He's not 100%.
No. And I think throughout the series, he's only going to get a little less healthy. And I think smart money says Phoenix is the two seed for a reason.
All right. Billy, you obviously finished almost last in the over-under. So I don't have any reason to listen to what you're saying. Marty, okay, as the winner,
I agree.
Who do you think?
I'm pretty sure I beat you. But go on. Sorry, Marty. You first?
No, Billy, absolutely. Take your time. You did beat Amir Blumenfeld.
That's all I needed.
So, well, everybody beat me but Jesse,
Right. So, well, Jesse tried to...
Jesse also thinks the Lakers
will
win.
Is just the dumbest thing you can do because I've won twice in a row now. But the point here is the money started last night. I think Phoenix was like plus 300 and now it's decreased to like plus 125. So I think a lot of people were betting Phoenix. I think a lot of people agree with Billy.
Yeah, but okay, so who do you think will win that series?
The Lakers. But I wanted to bet Phoenix plus 300 because I do agree.
It was never plus 300. It was like plus 240, now it's down to plus 160. The Lakers were minus 300 and now they're minus 185. But yeah, if it was an even money series, you think the Lakers beat the Suns?
In an even money series, the Lakers are the better team. I do think that all healthy and all things the same, the Lakers are better. I agree with everything Billy said.
And to that point, Marty, you saying all things like all healthy, the Suns are all healthy. And that is also a massive distinction. Like even if the Lakers got the Jazz, they would be playing Donovan Mitchell, who is hurt. So it's like, this isn't an easy matchup whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They have a healthy team who knows how they play. So we'll see. Mm-hmm.
Adam?
Yeah. It does kind of feel like it's going to be one of these series where Anthony Davis just has to play 45 minutes a game and just sort of like dominate DeAndre Ayton. I'm afraid for Ayton a little bit. I'm a little afraid. Say it again.
Who's their four? Who's Phoenix's four?
Jay Crowder is their starter.
Crowder.
And they've got like Cam Johnson and Bridges and...
Yeah.
I just sense a huge Anthony Davis series. I feel what you're saying, Bill. It's like Phoenix is the two for a reason. Chris Paul is a straight up killer.
Winner.
Who's going to guard Devin Booker, Amir?
It'll be the same people that guarded Steph. It'll be KCP or Caruso or Schroeder or anybody that can keep up with him.
We'll say the CP3 has not had the best success in the playoffs. He's good, but he's a really, really good basketball player who's really smart, and so he does really well in the regular season. I don't know that he's an excelling player in the playoffs, but he's not going to get worse. Mm-hmm. So,
Amir, who do you think is going to win between the Lakers and the Phoenix Suns?
I mean, I got to think the Lakers are going to win. I think the Lakers' path is set up. I would be much more pessimistic if they had lost. I don't know if we could have done Memphis, Utah, Clippers to the Western Conference Finals. But you give me 3 days of rest, then the Suns, and then maybe we'll talk about the series next, Nuggets or Portland. I think the Lakers will be favored against either of those teams. Portland versus the Nuggets. The Blazers are slight favorites right now. Who you guys got winning that series?
Home court means nothing.
Nothing.
Doesn't mean anything?
No, not even the altitude. The altitude went away in Denver, Denver does have home court advantage, and they're currently underdogs to the Blazers, who are the sixth seed. Yeah, I guess they're thinking the Nuggets without Murray can't beat Portland. I don't know.
I think Marty has to lead off this conversation.
I'll lead it. I got some ideas here. I've been thinking a little bit. We just played them and we came out, I think it was like a 20 to 25 point lead in like the first or second quarter it amounted to, and that was with Jokic.
Game 72? Was this the game?
Yeah, this is the one that Denver was trying to lose. Yeah, but Portland was up. Portland was up huge, though.
First of all, they rested their starters in the second half.
Yeah.
They played everybody in the first half. So I don't know what you guys are talking about. This lead was in the first half while everyone was playing.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we all agree on that?
I do think that the Nuggets were playing.
They weren't trying to win as much as they will be in games 1 through 7 of the series, for sure. But
Denver,
yeah, Portland did
Denver
win that game.
Denver with Jamal Murray. Okay, thank you. Yep. Denver with Jamal Murray and the Blazers with maybe a little bit of a worse team. Denver lost in a 7-game series, a very, very hard-fought 7-game series, to the last time the NBA had a regular season. So there's not a lot of new stuff here happening. It feels very similar. I think it will go – I hope it goes 7 games. I hope it's really fun to watch. I just think that the Blazers are better without Denver, without Jamal Murray, and there's no reason why the Blazers shouldn't win. That said, I think the numbers show that it's going to be close.
Yeah, so two very evenly matched teams.
Nurkic versus Jokic is obviously fun. What can Enes Kanter like give you minutes in this series against Jokic?
Enes Kanter has been given minutes.
Talk to him
the entire
Talk
year.
Talk to him, dog. Let him know. I mean, let him know.
We have two of the most important New York Knicks on our team in the last decade. We have Enes Kanter and we have Carmelo fucking Anthony. Like, what do you mean?
Right behind Taj Gibson and Nerlens Noel.
Enes Kanter is about to serve offensive rebound. Okay, well,
you remember Nurk and Jokic were teammates once upon a time, and they had to ship Nurkic to Denver. They're like, you know, we've chosen our itch, and it's Jokic.
You got
and he has a chip on his shoulder for that.
Jury's still out if they made the right decision there. I still Nurkic in that position could probably give you that 29-12-8 that Jokic is doing, probably, right?
Nurkic will be the, what is it, like when Charles Barkley gives his points to the game or whatever? He's the one thing. Like, if Nurk plays well, we win. If Nurk plays bad, we lose. That'll be
the X factor.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
As a Laker fan, assuming that the Lakers get by Phoenix, who would you rather see?
Portland.
I know you're saying Portland.
Absolutely.
And that's Portland. Not just to spite Marty. That's just a genuine wish.
If we're talking about recent history against a team, like, this is a team we discarded like a wayward fly in the bubble. I think Dame left in a helicopter after game 3 or 4. It wasn't even a battle after a certain point. I just think Portland's too small and their defense is too bad. I'm rooting for Portland to win. I actually am rooting for Portland to win. Just
so
selfishly.
That the Lakers can discard them.
Yes. I think Portland is great, but small, and the Lakers feast on teams like that.
This is classic Lakers fate. Like, Lakers are barely favored to beat the Suns, and all they can think about is who they want to play in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
It's like, you barely beat Steph
Curry. I'm worried
about
the Clippers.
He dribbled the ball out of bounds.
I'm worried about the Clippers. Yeah. I'm not worried about the next
Clippers haven't made it to the Western Conference Finals in a decade.
Ever.
Like,
ever.
This is the same thinking. This is the same thinking in the bubble. Like, this doesn't work like this, and I'm really excited for you. And I'm really curious as to who you'll root for when the Lakers lose. Like, and I'm not saying to Portland, like, whoever they lose to. I don't think that LeBron has the gas right now to get it done.
But they have the gas to at least beat Phoenix, you said, and then maybe do some damage against Portland or Denver.
All things even and healthy, the Lakers are one of the best teams in the NBA. I don't know that they are that right this second. But they're not last night.
That's true.
LeBron can't see.
He can't see.
Just shoot for the middle hoop.
He got three eyes.
Shoot for the middle hoop.
One eye, one leg. 6-0 in his last 6. Billy and Adam, predictions for Denver, Portland?
I think it's Portland. I think it's Portland.
I love Portland, guys. Yes.
Yeah.
They seem pretty evenly matched. Jamal Murray is clearly the X factor, it feels like. But I also think it's Portland. This is where Dame – this is Dame time, right?
It's Dame
now.
It's Dame.
Yeah. I don't see Jokic doing this well and then losing in the first series. For whatever reason, I think Jokic will be better than Dame in this
And
series.
He's also been really good without Jamal Murray. Like, Michael Porter Jr. has kind of just done what Murray was doing for them.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We will see. And then let's talk about the Knicks in the playoffs.
America's team, dude. America's team.
You know what? We're out of time. Thank you guys so much for coming by.
At Billy Scafuri, at Adam Lustig, and at
Kid Marty.
At NY Knicks.
The Knicks are underdogs. The Knicks are underdogs in that series, which kind of surprises me, but only slightly so. A +105, almost even money, but the Hawks are -125. Better than even money. Knicks Hawks theory?
Why is that, do we think?
I don't know. The Hawks have a better offense. Maybe the Knicks like played as well as they will play, and this is just their ceiling, and they think the Hawks are coming on as of late, and if they win the first game, do they have a, no, Knicks have home court, right?
Knicks have home court. Oh, we're the fourth seed. Hawks, I think that why people are hyped on the Hawks is A, they are healthy at the right time. A lot of their like bench guys, DeAndre Hunter, Danilo Gallinari, all those guys like just couldn't get healthy, and now they're healthy and trending up and got a couple games in. Also, Nate McMillan came in like halfway through the season, and they went like 23-11, so they found their way. Like Collins likes to play with Trae Young now. They score a lot, and the Knicks don't necessarily score a lot. We swept the Hawks all three games this regular season. The first two were without Nate McMillan, but Julius Randle averaged like monster triple doubles in all three of those games. And it's going to be a national coming out party for a couple guys on the New York Knicks. And it's going to be very fun to watch. Julius Randle, people are going to see RJ Barrett play for the first time. They're going to see Emmanuel Quickley play for the first time. They're going to be reminded how good Derrick Rose is. There's going to be a lot. They're going to be really surprised that Taj Gibson and Nerlens Noel play this kind of defense in the paint and really stop legit centers. There's going to be a lot of people being like, oh, so this is how the Knicks won 41 games this year.
Noel has more show-stopping blocks almost than any other player in the league this year.
He meets you at the rim.
He doesn't start, though, right?
No, he starts. He starts. Oh. We lost Mitchell Robinson halfway through the season, and then Nerlens Noel just filled in. Gotcha. That was it immediately.
Gotcha. Yeah. You're a beast.
Are you guys nervous? Are you guys confident? What's the vibe like in Knicks land?
I'm cautiously optimistic. Of course, nervous, obviously. Not you, I think we'll win. I think we'll win in six. Mm. I mean, because Reddish has been out. He's not Atlanta is like you're saying.
He's not there. I don't believe.
Yeah, I have a lot of confidence in Thibodeau. I feel like he can, if anyone can like scheme for a slippery little devil like Trae Young, it's Tibbs.
And, you know who we're going to hate, Ad? We're going to learn to hate Bogdanović a lot. And Kevin Huerter is going to hit some shots, and we're going to be like game three. We're going to be like, yo, I am sick of him.
He's from the capital region. He's from upstate New York, and he was like a five sports superstar in like a neighboring high school of mine. He's like Kevin all Huerter? Over the front.
I respect that about him.
He's so annoying. Like he's all you can just like his, something about his red hair and it's like pasty skin. I already don't like him.
Yeah. He's
like
he's going to bury us. He's going to bury us, dude. It's so inevitable. He's going to bury us one game, and we're just going to be so reminded. I'll say this: I got what I wanted. I wanted the four seed, and I wanted the Hawks. And every day leading up to game one, I feel worse and worse about this series as I like it's think so about both rosters. Like this actually doesn't seem so great. Capella, this is like scary. John Collins, scary. Like I'm scared, dude.
This is like the psychology of a Knicks fan. If we lose game one, I'm panicked.
Yeah.
If we lose game one, I'm fully panicked. Yeah. I'm like I'm no longer confident. I want to quit being a fan.
Yeah. I hate the Knicks.
So
love it.
But I do ultimately think that we will win. Yeah. I do.
Is
think
Julius Randle ready for this stage?
Oh yes.
Hell yes.
Oh yeah,
people need to catch up to
Julius. After you lose game one, is Julius Randle ready for this stage?
I think so.
He's a real one. He is a very, very real one. Yeah,
I agree with that. Yeah,
And the Knicks basketball is tailor made for the playoffs. They're used. You think Julius Randle is scared of playing 41 minutes a game? He averaged 41 minutes a game. They've been playing game sixes all year long.
Right.
If he's not dead tired yet, he's good to go. And the slow pace, the defense. This is all like New York stuff.
Yeah,
Derrick Rose brings me a lot of inner peace. Mm-hmm. He brings me a lot of calm. Mm-hmm. When he's running the show, I feel good about my life.
Yep.
I feel good about my future. Yes. That is like kind of where I want to live. I want to see a lot of Derrick Rose just
wash over you.
What you're gonna get though? A lot of Elfrid Payton.
Oh, brutal.
Why does he start? Like why is that happening?
I think he starts so that Derrick Rose can eat for the middle section of the game.
But what about Quickley?
Yeah, like put anybody
They play
else.
Together. They played those two together.
Yeah.
But why not play the other? Why not just play whatever?
Frank Ntilikina, you had Austin Rivers. You don't have enough point
guards. Also, while we're here, shout out Alec Burks and shout out Reggie Bullock. Another. I mean, we are a team Snipers. Of unsung heroes. Those dudes are shooting 40% from three and like sneaking 30-point games. Like Knicks roster. Yeah. I'm feeling more confident just after this little monologue.
So what's your finals prediction?
Knicks in four.
Wow, that's not bad. A little wiggle room. They could be down at half and still pull it off. But yeah.
I see what you're predicting.
I would actually say Knicks in seven. Win at the Garden.
Ooh.
In seven. Jesus, my nerves can't take seven. Good God. Oh my God, please don't let it be seven. But you're right, it will be seven.
It's been a decade. You have to squeeze these playoffs for all it's worth, you know? Do you even remember?
Amir and Marty, without this sort of, without being blinded by fandom, what do you think about this series?
I think it's Knicks. I think it's the Hawks are super young and inexperienced too. It's not like you guys are playing. If this was Miami, I would pick Miami. If it was the Bucks, I would pick the Bucks. The Nets. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you got the perfect team. They're young. They're inexperienced. They don't defend that well. Mm-hmm. And I think the Knicks are built for this. I might bet on the Knicks. I might say that right now.
Love that.
Thank you, Amir.
Yeah, I mean you don't want me betting on them because I've been terribly wrong all year, but yeah, I might bet on them.
We want Marty to bet on them.
Yeah.
That's so, right. And don't worry, I will be betting on the Knicks. Knicks are America's team this year.
Yo,
they're absolutely the workhorse.
Portland East.
Of the NBA playoffs. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love the Knicks. And, you know, I will say that Atlanta has a few NBA comps for my play style. You got Bogdanovich, you got Huerter, you got... who's the tall?
So you're saying
Gallinari.
Okay, so I
could be any of
right
these
now,
guys.
Right now, we're just on white.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
No, no. Well, my athleticism. First of all, my athleticism isn't elite. I was a long distance.
Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
So I'm like slow. I'm a little slower, but I can definitely shoot. And all these guys, that's their profession in the NBA.
Yeah.
So that when we're not thinking color here, Billy, we're thinking actual
Lou Williams
play style.
You play a lot like Lou Williams.
No, Lou Williams' crossover is much more deadly than mine. Bogdanovich does not have a crossover. He's in his place where he needs to be, and he's making the right decisions. That's more of the play style and the comp.
Was your prediction earlier? Your prediction?
Knicks in 5.
Let's
go. Thank you.
A lot of confidence.
I don't think Atlanta's that. I don't know. We'll see.
I could also see a world in which Trae Young like twists an ankle or something, and then Lou Will comes in to be the point guard, and we get a series of Lou Will. I don't know why, but I can just see that happening as well.
I think that's good for them.
Real quick to the non-fandom related series, Heat +250 against the Bucks -300. The Bucks are huge favorites. They lost to Miami last year. Jimmy Butler is terrifying and constantly thinks he's going to win and is usually right. Does anybody mm-hmm. think Miami pulls the upset there?
Absolutely. Yeah. Of course.
Wow.
Definitely.
I got Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's path is so they have to beat the Heat, then they have to beat like the Nets, then they have to beat the Sixers, then they have to make it to the finals.
Yeah.
They're better this year, but that's a terrible path. Yeah.
All those teams are on the same side?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, God. Yeah. So we're only getting one of them to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. You said the
Bucks. Yeah, so that's the Bucks path. Yeah. Wait, Adam, you like Miami. They're the 3 seed, so it would be the 1 seed.
Which is the Nets.
The 76ers.
No, Philly. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. The Nets would be around too.
Okay, so this was a tweet that I saw that was sort of like shocked me a little bit. The Heat versus the East's top 3 seeds. Maybe you guys already saw this. That Jimmy Butler did not play a single game against any of the top 3 seeds except for one game against Philly, and they won.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right.
That's insane. Yeah.
Jimmy Butler he's kind of like... Well, I think it was like, we made it to the finals. I'm going to fucking rest during the regular season. We'll make it to the playoffs and then we'll do work there. It's a little bit like the Lakers and Clippers ideology of like not necessarily giving a shit. Jimmy Butler seems to have earned it more than the Clippers have. But yeah, he's ready to go now.
I'm scared of Miami. I think just like last year, I don't see why. I guess the one big difference is Bledsoe, right?
In True terms Holiday, of last year.
Yeah, now it's True Holiday.
Holiday. I absolutely think Miami could win.
I think Miami got worse, personally.
Really?
I think they got a little worse. I think that like the shine on Tyler Hero kind of came off a little bit. People
gone.
Learned how to,
it's yeah. gone.
And like losing, I keep saying Jay Crowder. I don't know why I've said his name of all names 5 times on this podcast. But losing him in the corner for corner threes and just that muscle power forward, I think they just... They were right place, right time. I don't see them getting past Milwaukee, especially with Holiday.
Drew Holiday is the he's up there for best improved playoff players ever to play NBA basketball. Mm. He is so much better in the playoffs than he is in regular season, and it's because his upside is defense.
Perimeter
and the playoffs
defense
becomes a real thing. So. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, as a Blazer fan who like absolutely got spanked by him 1 year in AD, like there's no doubt in my mind that he has the ability to turn something on that mm-hmm. changes their dynamic greatly for the Bucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the Heat almost in every series except for the Bucks. The Bucks just are reinvigorated and re-energized. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy Butler won, though, at the end of the day.
And last note on that, and then we can move on to the next series because I know we're getting tight on time. But if I'm on the Bucks roster from last year and I'm playing the Heat this year, I want to kill them.
Yeah,
I want to destroy them. We could have won a championship last year, and you took
Pat
it from us. I'm
Connaughton
pissed about
is
it.
Angry. Yeah, Pat Connaughton is hungry. Yep. He knows what it's like. He wants it.
You
kind of
play like
it.
Pat Connaughton, Marty.
Actually, he's a good comp for me. His play style. He's a little more athletic. Than
a little
me,
more.
Honestly,
he has like a 48-inch vertical. Uh-huh. A little more
both
athletic.
D1 athletes, yeah. Both D1 athletes.
Yeah, both D1 athletes.
Everyone. Yeah, Dame, everyone in the NBA is a D1 athlete.
I mean, they're very similar schools.
Not
yeah.
really. Does anybody think the Mavericks can beat the Clippers? That would be probably a highlight of my life if the Clippers tanked to get Dallas and then lost to them.
That would be amazing.
That would be cosmic. I almost want that more than I want the Lakers to win another championship. Like, I've experienced that. I haven't experienced the Clippers melting down. God, I guess they did it last year.
They melted down every year in the playoffs.
Yeah, but this would be even funnier if they just angled to get this seed and lost. But I'm probably not going to happen, unfortunately.
Can you answer me this? Because you're much better. Who did they lose to last year?
To Denver.
Clippers. Yeah.
Yeah, they were up 3-1 against Denver, and Denver came back and won.
Yeah, they're just not. I don't know. I think Kawhi is like kind of over it. I don't know. That's just the vibe. Wow. I don't know why.
Yeah,
over it.
Yeah, some of my sources have said he's actually joining the Knicks in the next 2 years.
That would be a good get. That would be a good get, actually. Yeah.
I have Clippers in 7.
Kawhi is one of those players where, like, I know, like, the jokes are made about it or whatever, but it does seem like he's least interested in being a professional athlete. Yeah. It just seems like he's not that into being a basketball player that much.
But he also accomplished probably the hardest thing in basketball that you possibly can. Like, joining a team halfway through a season, leading them to an NBA championship over some really, really great teams, and, like, a Cinderella story season. You don't – like, those are the dreams you have as a kid. Like, that's what you want to do. He did it. So it's like – what else is there to fight for? I'm not really sure. Like, this is fun, being in LA, being around movie stars, living the life where I grew up and like what I want to do. But like, do I need to win another NBA championship to validate my talent? Absolutely not.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
The counter argument is that Kawhi only cares about basketball, doesn't give a shit about celebrity culture, and is obsessed with winning to the point where he's not even giving much of a shit during the regular season because he saves it all for the playoffs for this one moment. Also, he joined Toronto in the offseason. So he had one full season with Toronto, took him to the finals, and then just peaced out. But yeah, I think Kawhi
Like you said, he doesn't play in the middle of the season. So like, really, it was only half a season he wasn't really playing.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he was resting a lot.
The Clippers are going to win, and it's not because of Kawhi Leonard, and it's not because of Paul George. It's going to be because of Rajon Rondo.
Absolutely agree.
He's the stabilizing force. Last year, when there was just no alpha, there was no dog in that like locker room or that huddle that was like going to get them together and whip their ass into shape after the other team had an 11-0 run, after the Nuggets started going on a little streak. There was never that alpha. He's going to unlock a new playoff P, and Kawhi's going to like it.
Yeah. I completely agree. I'm a lifelong Rondo stan. I think where Rondo goes, the championship goes. Like, Rondo is still one of the biggest, one of the top, toughest dudes in the league. I totally agree with you, Bill.
Yeah.
He's a playoff team chemistry changer.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But PG is probably the softest mental player outside of Kevin Durant that the NBA has, and so like,
I think
the
that's
playoffs
right.
are mm-hmm. that's right. absolutely crumble him. I think he's probably the player who has the most to prove in the NBA in general, because he has played really well this season, but has never played well in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So like, let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see. Does anybody think Dallas can win?
No.
Not really.
How good? Okay, here's a better question. How good does Luka have to play for them to win?
He could play the best basketball of his life, and they lose in games 5 or 6.
Yeah,
that's my read.
Right.
I can't imagine him beating that team. I hope I'm wrong.
They did last year, or not for a full series, but the Laker or Clippers Mavs was the first round matchup last year. That's when Luka hit that game winning three. To tie the series at one, and then
that was amazing.
Clippers just kind of destroyed him. But Porzingis was hurt too. I don't know if that makes a difference.
I mean, if Tim Hardaway Jr. plays out of his mind, Jalen Brunson plays out of his mind, if every role player just plays A-plus basketball, yes, of course there's a chance. But I mean, as such, it seems like the Clippers are the superior team for sure.
What's the spread there? Did you mention
Clippers
what
are heavy favorites?
Is?
-380. Mavericks are +320.
Wow. Yeah wow.
Luka's so good, future of the NBA, but is he low-key very annoying?
Yeah. I think people are getting a little bit annoyed with how much he complains.
Get annoyed with
his
him.
Attitude. Yeah.
It's the fetching to the refs. Yeah. It's the hitting.
Good NBA comp for me, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah. In terms,
just from like a personality standpoint, not athletic, kind of annoying, he's good at winning, but like people don't like it when he wins. Like, yeah, I get it.
It's actually a pretty good comp. Doubles.
Pretty solid comp.
Really good NBA comp.
Actually,
pretty
solid comp, yeah.
Do you get red in the face when you're complaining to the refs? Red, sweaty, a lot of European pleading.
There's a lot of complaining in the NBA. They should just make complaining to the ref a technical. Like, why don't they do that?
They should have a dummy ref on the sidelines that you just run up to. It's like a literal mannequin.
You could punch him.
Yell. Exactly. Just get it out. Take it out on the dummy.
A crash test dummy.
Good call.
That's a really good idea.
Montrezl
Harrell can
crash ref dummy.
They scream and run in that dummy's face so that the real human refs don't get offended.
Good call.
Everyone wins.
He's mic'd up.
And then we assume the Nets and Sixers will win because they're playing shitty teams like Boston and whoever comes out of the East today. Indiana, Wizards.
Hold on. Would it be Philly, Indiana?
Philly's going to take issue with that.
Would it be Philly, Indiana?
Indiana or Washington, yeah.
Folks, I'll tell you what. Both of those teams are going to be a headache for the 76ers.
Really? You don't think it's like a sweep or a gentleman sweep in that round?
No, I do not, sir. I know that Embiid is the one unstoppable force. I get it. I concede he will have 34 and 15 most games. But Indiana scores about 135 points a game. Washington can too. And if Embiid is off or has two fouls or anything, the Sixers aren't equipped to score 115 points without Embiid. And
that's true.
If it's just two great defensive teams, Sixers win every series. But both of those teams are scoring, and just keep an eye out. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Sixers get stung game one by the Indiana Pacers. Like, they're like, whoops, whoa, whoa, whoa. So that's my prediction.
That's a bold. I like it. It's a bold prediction. And we'll know. That's the most exciting part. We'll actually get to watch these series unfold over the next week or two. We can see how right or wrong we were.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, I guess Marty is the most right. Unbelievable.
Sorry, say that again. You broke up a little bit when you
said that. Oh, I was saying that Marty's the most right. He was 38 and a half games above Vegas. And so I guess we all owe him a debt of gratitude and 72 Venmo bucks as soon as possible.
Congratulations, Marty.
Adam, you do not pay him. You do not pay him, Adam.
I wouldn't dream of it.
I'm going to be checking your Venmo receipts, Adam, and I swear to God, if I see a negative 72, send to Marty Michael.
Flip the fuck
out. Honestly, it almost was a request, but you backed out.
He does.
Yeah, that's right.
Marty was going to give you, potentially my 72 would have gone right to you, but you didn't want it. Respect.
Respect, Adam.
That is respect.
Oh, I didn't realize it was a mere 72.
All right, guys, what do you want to promote before we get the hell out of here, Lustig?
No Joke Podcast, HeadGum Podcast Network. New episodes every Friday, co-hosted by William Scafuri. Please listen and download and subscribe, etc.
Love that. Good work.
Yeah.
Martin, you have a vlog? Medium blog post?
Listen to the No Joke Podcast with Billy and Adam. Listen to all the other shows that we have on HeadGum. And that's it.
When do you start Marty's Picks, your NBA Picks blog, so people can start riding with your decisions?
I mean, we would have made a lot of money together this year, folks.
6-1.
We could have been there.
Same with Adam. Adam and Marty were, 12-2 against the spread. You don't find that anywhere.
We could open our own book, Adam.
Marty, is there one particular pick that you're most proud of? I'm most proud of Golden State over.
Yeah, I would have. I said this earlier. It's Raptors under for me.
Raptors, right.
Because I just knew that they were not built for this.
Yeah, you called it. Yep.
And you were right.
Kudos, man.
All right, William, anything to say on the way out?
Nope. No Joke Podcast, like Adam said, and another good Buckets. Thanks for listening.
Hell yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back as soon as possible. Go Lakers. Go Knicks and Blazers too, I guess. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.